Discovering stories of people living out their beliefs in our culture, communities, and the public square. And finding courage, determination, and hope. Welcome to Faith Radio's On the Road. Now, here's Ryan Thomas.
There are certain guests whose biographies are so full and so varied that they're just fun to read. And today on the road, we meet someone who fits that bill very well. She's been a meteorologist, a professor in church leadership, a radio host, and she represented her state of Minnesota at the Miss America pageant in 1992. Joe Bender hosts Connecting Faith Fridays for Faith Radio. She's a former meteorologist on multiple Twin Cities TV outlets, a professor at University of Northwestern, St. Paul, and a wife and a mom. So, Joe, greetings to you today. It is a distinct pleasure to have you here on the road.
Well, thank you. It's so much better having the tables turned today with you asking the questions.
Well, it's a privilege, and it's been a lot of fun to serve alongside you as a producer on the Friday show. So it is fun to turn the tables and get to learn a bit more about you. What a fascinating life that you have led.
Seriously.
You've accomplished a lot of things, but I know that your family is what you're the most proud of. So as we begin, would you just take us inside the house and introduce us to your family?
Well, I have a wonderful husband named Marty. We've been married for 17 years, just celebrated our 17th wedding anniversary. I cannot believe that means we've known each other for 20 years. And it's hard for me to say that I've known anyone for 20 years because it means that I'm over 20. So that's very difficult. But anyway, I've been married to Marty. Just very grateful to have met him. We met on a blind date. Someone set us up.
Really?
And yes. And it was someone who actually knew the both of us and figured that we might actually like each other. And that's very difficult because if you're in your late 20s and you're still not married, people start sending you up with anyone who's single. And so this was really great that someone actually put the thought into it, and they were right. So we're very grateful to our friend Mike for doing that. We have two boys. We have a 13-year-old named Will and a 9-year-old named Sam. And I just adore them, of course, as any parent would say about their children. But it's been an interesting year because I'm going from that very sweet spot of parenting where it's just very easy, where you have elementary age kids, where they're just very easy to raise. And now I have a teenager. And so we're learning along the way how parenting is changing and how I have a mini adult in my house and how to deal with that. So it's been a great road and a fun one too, because it is fun to see your kids develop into these people who have thoughts and dreams of their own as well.
Oh, absolutely. And it's fun to hear the stories every week when you come in for Connecting Faith and know how much you love your family.
Well, just at dinner last night, they said, "Did you talk about us today?" And I said, "No, I didn't talk about you." So I do try to limit it, but they're such good stories, such great fodder for stories.
Understood. So take us back to the beginning, if you will, Joe, and your upper Midwestern childhood. Was faith a part of your story from the very beginning, or did you make that faith your own at some point later?
I'm going to say both and. I grew up in a great Christian home. We were very active in our church in Anoka, Minnesota. We grew up here in the Midwest. I'm also very grateful for that upbringing. It was very idyllic where we could be outside riding our bikes. We would leave early in the morning, never come back until dinner time and hang with your friends and go to the local pool and stores. And I mean, I'm just very lucky to have grown up in that community. But my mom was also a youth director at our church. My dad was an elder, so we spent quite a bit of time there. And I, of course, was raised to know the Lord and who he was and who I was because of him. And that was just, I'm very grateful for that. We had weekly devotionals, prayed before meals, were very active in our church. And so that was very formative in my faith. But like any teenager and young adult, I also had to make my faith my own. And so going off to college and having to make a decision, do I really believe this? Do I not believe this? Do I want to have a little freedom? I went through that same kind of thing that a lot of people go through. And that first year and a half of college, I can't say I set foot in any church there except maybe on Easter and Christmas when I came home and was trying to figure my life out. But I think that what was wonderful to me is that I realize as I'm looking back that God never, I might have let go of God at that time, but God really never let go of me. There was always a place to come back to, and there was always this foundation, and that I attribute to my parents and what, and my church and what I learned about who I was. And so when I came to that point around age 20, where I was really saying, what is life all about? I was able to know that God was there, that I could turn to him and pray. And I just remember I was walking home one night, very, very late in the night, all by myself at about 2 a.m. It was dark, and just sitting down on the curb and saying, God, I don't know where you've been, but if you would just, you know, hear me and listen to me, I need you. I need you to get me home, first of all, tonight. And then I just need to turn my life back to you. And it was really that easy. It was that easy for me. And so when I hear stories, powerful testimonies about where people were brought from a very low place to the arms of God, I know that that's true, because something very similar happened to me, even though it was a very smaller scale. That very afternoon, a friend of mine called from home and invited me that evening to come and hear someone speak at their church.
Wow.
And I just, when I think about that and how fast God worked and how miraculous that was, I just know how close he really is to each and every person.
The timing just comes together. Joe Bender is with us, the Connecting Faith Friday host here on Faith Radio, a former meteorologist on multiple Twin Cities TV outlets, a professor at University of Northwestern, and a wife and a mom. We're going on the road with Joe today, a special opportunity. Thanks again for your time, Joe. And I'm Ryan Thomas. Well, you were selected as Miss Minnesota in 1992. And this is such a fascinating part of your story, because having known you, I knew you, I think, for 6 months before I knew that this was part of your story. So what sparked your interest back in the day in going for that crown?
One of my favorite things, I'm just going to run down this rabbit trail for a minute, about Connecting Faith is sometimes I'll tell a story on the air and I look at Ryan's face and he's like, what? I did not know that about you. And this was one of those things where he was shocked and stunned. I left and I went to do an internship after college, or my junior year of college, really. I had a friend of mine who was active in the Miss America pageant. Her name was Gretchen Carlson, and she happened to grow up very close to me. And it kind of sparked my interest with pageantry. I thought, well, that's kind of interesting, but I had never thought of anything like this. I grew up as a tomboy. I have three brothers. I did not own a pair of high heels. I had a curling iron, but did not know how to use it. And so thinking about a pageant was kind of not really in my repertoire.
Of course.
But there were a couple of things that made this attractive to me. Number one, it was a competition. And I, having grown up with the three brothers that I did, I was very active in sports. I was kind of an average student. I was pretty good on the violin. I was an average athlete, but I loved to compete. And so after high school, there's not a lot of opportunities to do that. And I thought, well, this might be kind of fun. The second thing was it could earn me scholarship money. And I went to a state university. I had a very small music scholarship. And if I would win this one local pageant, it would pay for the remainder of my college tuition.
Whoa.
And so I thought, well, this might be worth a look.
Absolutely.
So I chose the pageant that had the biggest scholarship, and I entered that one, and I was addicted right away. I loved the competitive aspect. I had to learn about interview, how to speak in front of people. I got to perform my talent. I played bluegrass fiddle, so that was really fun. It gave me an outlet for that. There were the stage events, evening gown and swimsuit, and who doesn't want to get in shape and learn how to walk in heels in a swimsuit? I mean, I'm sure it's on everyone's list, but for me, it was a challenge. And I mean, gauntlet-ish, it was dropped. I jumped right on, and it was just a great competitive aspect for me, where I earned scholarship money for my education. And so it was really a fun experience. And through that, and I have to tell you that growing up, I was extremely shy. I know it's very hard to believe right now, but I never spoke up. I was not the person to be on stage.
Right.
I was very quiet. Having the three brothers, you hardly get a word in edgewise. And so I didn't speak a lot. But that experience of learning how to interview, how to give talks, how to speak my mind, formulate opinions, that training was invaluable. And I think it's where God finally birthed in me this thought, I'm going to use you to talk. I'm going to use you to communicate with other people. And if you would just develop this part of you, you are really going to see me do something with it. And I went with it. And as I look back now, I think that's exactly what he was doing. And it's why I am who I am, where I am today.
You talk about communicating up there on the stage. And one of the things that I think is so fascinating about that competition is what you were 22 at the time,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
Watching these young ladies, 22, 23 years of age, get up there in front of a concert hall full of people
right.
and try to retain your composure. So how did God kind of work you through that? And do you still, you speak all over the place today and on the radio as well. Do you ever still get nervous?
I don't know if nervous is the right word. Excited is a word. I think that when I'm preaching God's word, if I'm taking scripture, trying to teach it, and I feel this way with a classroom as well, just an enormous amount of pressure to get it right and to be faithful to God's word. I think that is what I get my nervousness in the most of all. And that also requires me to just put an incredible amount of faith in God to do what he will with whatever it is that comes out of my mouth. I will pray the same prayer every single time before I go up in front of an audience or an interview or a counseling session or a mentoring session, whatever it is that I'm doing, which is, God, would you just speak through me? And if I can just make myself available to him, I find that he will do his best work through me. And so not to try to orchestrate it. And how that translated from pageantry into speaking is when I won Miss Minnesota, it was very traditional for Miss Minnesota to spend that year kind of going around the state and being in some ribbon cuttings and parades and things like that. And I just sat down at that table on the first day and said, look, I'd really like this year to be something a little bit different. I'd like to speak and I'd like to play my violin. Can you make that happen? And so they were so gracious and wonderful to let me develop this little self-esteem program for elementary schools and then just start booking me. And so I went all across the state and even all across the Midwest, really, and was able to speak to students about being who God made them to be, if I was fortunate enough to be in a private school, or just kind of moving that same message in a public school realm. And so I was able to speak. And again, from this shy little girl from a small town, this was miraculous in itself. And then to just share what music meant to me and how God had worked through my life and shown me what a wonderful opportunity to perform and to bring joy to people. And with bluegrass, I mean, it's very easy to do that because people love it. And so performing was really very fun. And then I was just kind of able to watch how he made that an opportunity for me to speak in other places as well, to share my faith. And when people found out that Miss Minnesota is a Christ follower, I mean, their churches all over the place wanted me to come and just share a story with them. I find it ironic today that as we look at, you know, mentors that young women have today, who they look up to, that our options are a little bit limited. They are, you know, the reality TV stars
Absolutely.
Of today and celebrities of today who don't necessarily want to be mentors. And so I just really felt a deep conviction that God had given me this opportunity because he wanted to do something through that, through me, through this opportunity. And that was a really growing time for my faith to know that, oh my goodness, God can actually use me.
Some very encouraging words today as we go on the road with Joe Bender, the Friday host for Connecting Faith on the Faith Radio Network, a former meteorologist on multiple Twin Cities TV outlets, and a professor at University of Northwestern, St. Paul, and of course a wife and a mom, which I know is your favorite part of your biography as well. Let's talk a little bit about the weather, Joe, because what was it that drew you initially to the weather? And tell us a little bit about your path to becoming a meteorologist.
Well, I studied broadcasting in college, and we weather was part of that as far as the broadcasting. We had our own television station at the college where I went to, so we were able to do all of those roles, sports, weather, news, reporting. And so I was familiar with it, and I love science. I loved life science from seventh grade on, and I just really enjoyed the weather. So it gave me an opportunity to kind of put those two interests together, broadcasting and weather. But the way I got the weather job is kind of unusual. I had decided on a reporting path, and then in my internship, I'd been there for about 3 weeks, and the weekend weather person quit. He went on to another market. He went somewhere else. And so the news director pulled me in and said, look, I know you just started, but you're okay on camera. And I think you might be able to do this. So why don't you give it a shot? And I thought, well, that was a ringing endorsement. So I will certainly give it a try. So I quickly went down to the National Weather Service office there in Rochester. And I said, you need to help me. I don't know what to do. I've only done weather a few times. Can you help me? And I spent the next 2 days kind of going through forecasting. They gave me a forecast and then just told me what I should say for my audition. 2 days later, I auditioned for the job, and I don't know why in the world they gave this to a 22-year-old intern, but I received the weekend weather job. And then I went back and got my meteorology degree.
Okay, understood.
So that is kind of how it worked. And what I love about the weather are a couple of things. First of all, I loved just being able to teach a little bit about why something was happening the way it was happening. I have a teacher brain. I don't know how to explain it, but I love breaking down this complicated process and trying to make it understandable. And weather was a great opportunity to do that. And the other thing I loved about doing the weather was being able to just speak openly. There is no teleprompter. You really just be able to, you get to have a conversation with the camera, really, but having a conversation with the people who are watching. And that was really fun for me and gave me a chance to just be personable.
That's entirely ad-libbed.
It's all ad-libbed.
Really?
Because if you're not ad-libbed, then you can't see the maps.
Oh, of
course. So you can choose. Do you want to see the map or do you want to see words? And you have to choose the map if you're doing the weather.
Well, this is a fascinating thing that I hadn't realized. But if my material was correct, you've worked at every single network TV station in the Twin Cities as a meteorologist, right?
I have, yes. It was unusual. What happened is I worked for Channel 9 when I first came here, and then I went from Channel 9 to Channel 5. I was there for the majority of my years here in the Twin Cities. But when my son was born, I went back to work, and I worked for about 9 months and said, this is just not going to work for me. I miss my child. I miss my husband. We had kind of figured out a schedule where my child would be with a caregiver for a short amount of time and be either with me or my husband. But that meant that my husband and I never got to see each other either.
Sure.
So we just made the decision. I love my job, but this is not the life that I want for my family. And so I made the decision to step down. And when I did that, all of the other stations kind of knew that I was here in the Twin Cities. So when they would have someone leave or maybe this someone wasn't available, they added a new show, needed someone to fill in for a little bit. That's how I was able to work on all of the other stations as well. So yes, I feel like I've pretty much been everywhere here in the Twin Cities.
I want to follow up with the story of you departing and choosing to depart from a lucrative industry in TV and a very visible one as well. But we're here with Jo Bender on the road today. She's the Friday host of Connecting Faith here on the Faith Radio Network. And as we've been discussing, a former meteorologist. That's such a fun word to say.
It is a fun word. Even more fun to spell.
On multiple, as we've been hearing, Twin Cities TV outlets. A professor as well at University of Northwestern. And our time is quickly waning away, so I want to get as many questions in as I can, Joe. But I think a life on TV is fascinating for so many of us. And one of the things that I think that we all face just in our regular lives, whatever we do, is when we succeed, not getting a big head. And when we fail, not losing all confidence in yourself.
Hmm.
And I know that as someone who's on TV, I've heard you tell stories of how you'd be picked apart and how you'd be analyzed by consultants and experts. How did you stay grounded, and perhaps what role did your faith play throughout that experience on television?
Oh, faith plays a very big role. And I was very lucky to also have a mentor in that industry who was also a Christ follower. And he was able to keep me grounded on those nights when I would be reading email from viewers that were not so kind. And so he was very good at just helping me shift back and say, you know, you are doing what God has called you to do. And if someone doesn't like it, that's their deal. But you are being faithful to what God has called you to do. And he was also instrumental in just helping me make a decision on what I wanted to do with my future life on TV as well. But it is hard. I think that most of the emails, it's funny, I could do a horrible job with a forecast. I would be off on the temperature. Maybe it would rain when it said it wasn't going to rain. Still, most of the comments that would come in from a day would be on what I was wearing or how my hair was looking. And so it was I don't know. It was difficult, but you have to have a sense of humor about it. Otherwise, you'll never get through it.
That seems very valid. You then made the decision as well, after returning home from the TV industry, to pursue a career as a professor as well. And you also were in church leadership as well. So take us a little bit through that journey. And particularly, I find intriguing your decision to become, you noted your proclivity towards explaining things and teaching things. But I just find that fascinating. What made you decide to pursue that professorship?
Well, it's funny. I didn't really realize that was a gift of mine. This was before I'd taken any sort of spiritual gifts assessment or anything. But what had happened, back to the weather a little bit, is I received a promotion above someone who'd been there for a long time, and he was not happy about it. And so we had a meeting together, and he was saying, you know, she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's not done with her degree yet. All she does is take a complicated set of data and regurgitate it so that people understand. And the news director said, Yes, she does. And that's why I'm giving her the job. And it was at that point where I'm like, I should have been offended by that, but I guess I'm not. I guess I'm doing something right. And so when I thought about theology, I mean, it had always been an interest of mine. I'd always been engaged in youth ministry, kind of on the side of my professional life as well, at church and whatnot. And so I'd always been interested in going to seminary and felt a very large call to go to seminary. And so when I had that time at home, I was home with my son. And if you haven't guessed it yet, I have this nature to kind of strive. And so I decided, well, as long as I'm home, why don't I just get that master's degree? And so I went back to school. And during that time, my teachers, my professors continued to say, when we would have to do a presentation on what we learned or write a paper, you have a talent to teach. And it was really them drawing that out in me and me remembering, well, I kind of did that with the weather in a very different way, but maybe I am talented in this area. And I just prayed about that and really spent that time while I was getting my degree to ask God, is this really what you would want me to do? And if so, that is really intimidating. And it really just happened. I feel like I kind of fell into it by the grace of God, by just putting in my life encouraging and professors who taught me and then encouraged me that I could also be part of this great academic institution.
Going on the road with Joe Bender of Connecting Faith on Fridays. I'm Ryan Thomas for Faith Radio. And I've seen this, and it's very cool to actually observe. I know that people come to you for advice, whether it's on, she giggles.
Not Ryan yet. Ryan has not asked me any advice.
Whether it's going into television or whether it's on even potential pageant aspirants have come to you and they say, hey, what do you think? You know, what's your advice? Are there certain pieces of wisdom that you try to pass along to folks who are, you know, asking you about career goals, and maybe certain pieces of advice that you were given when you were a young person that really made a profound impact on you?
Well, I think the advice I find myself, or the question I find myself asked most of all, is by students who are trying to figure out what it is they are to do, whether it's their major, where they are to go to college, who it is they are to marry. You know, they can't come up with making a decision. And I struggle with that as well, especially when there are many opportunities available and I struggle with wanting to make the right choice. And so I try to continue to tell them, hey, you know, God is not a God of confusion. He is a God of peace. And if you continue to go to Him to ask those questions of Him, He will guide you along the path that is going to bring you not only a deep sense of peace, but a deep sense of purpose as well, if you are following what He has asked you to do, which is really just to follow Him. And that if we are following Him and trying to become more Christ-like in the way that we behave and what we do, no matter which of those paths, whether it's a career, a marriage, a job, you're going to be successful in that if you are following what Christ, who Christ is and who He's called you to be in whatever situation you're in. And that's what I've tried to do, because I obviously do not have it figured out on what I'm supposed to do in my life, because I keep going down paths where He puts me because I think that's where He's called me to be, but I don't have that locked down.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I just, from my own personal vantage point. I'm very grateful that you took the path that you're on now, because you've been a tremendous encouragement to me, and I've learned a lot from working alongside you as well. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Ryan. This is my most fun job of all time, being on the radio.
Well, she will continue to be here every Friday on Faith Radio at noon on Connecting Faith. And as someone who is most of the time behind the mic and asking the questions, what was it like emotionally to be asked questions on the road today?
It's more comforting to be asking the questions than to have the questions asked, but it's also just a great opportunity to share who God is, and I'm always up for that.
Absolutely. We thank you so much for the time, Joe. It was a pleasure having you.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks for sharing in the story of this latest episode of Faith Radio's On the Road. For more on today's conversation and the full podcast archive of all our episodes, look for On the Road when you visit myfaithradio.com.